I couldn't be prouder. About a half a dozen of our members spoke during the public comments at Monday's school board meeting. They spoke in support of the board's proposed resolution regarding diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Their words were inspired, and they offered a significant voice to a growing group of people bringing hope to our community. The proposed resolution clearly states the district condemns racism, racial violence, hate speech, bigotry, discrimination, and harassment in all forms inside and outside of our schools and community, and stands steadfast in our commitment to foster an inclusive educational environment where every student, staff member, parent, and community member is treated with dignity and respect. To this end, the district will create and sustain a social equity task force, giving voice to staff, students, parents, and our community on matters of social equity. They will provide opportunities for the professional development of TCAP staff and occasions to learn about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. They will offer an ongoing review of the curriculum through a social equity lens, including efforts to enhance the library's offering of resources from authors representing marginalized communities. As new knowledge becomes available and community progress is made, this review and revision process will continue. There are people opposed to the resolution. But the board is to be commended. Racial and gender identity bias are present in our schools and our community. Too many people have been shamed and silenced for too long. The board is seeking ways to do better and be better. They're including critical voices and community leaders in the process to provide the most inclusive and comprehensive response possible. While there are conversations to have about how best to address social equity issues, there's no question, as people of faith, we must support the board's efforts. The Bible is clear. Every human being, regardless of race, ethnicity, nationality, sex, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, social and economic class, religion, ability, age, body type, mental, physical, and emotional health, every human being is created in the image of God. When any of our siblings are dehumanized in any way, we desecrate the image of God in them. Beloved, because of the board's consideration and the support of our members and so many others in our community, hundreds of children, parents, and staff in our district and countless others in our community have been given hope. Someone is listening. Someone cares. Their lives matter. There is hope. The storms around social equity aren't the only storms raging in our lives these days. Many people have endured the storms of COVID. Essential workers in every field, families and friends who've lost people they love, community leaders trying to lead. But I've had healthcare workers on my heart for a while. Yes, those working with patients with COVID, but also oncologists, pediatricians, cardiologists, nurses, neonatal staff, hospice workers, the list goes on. How hard must it be for them to watch people in their care suffer and die? How heavy must their hearts be? How do they hold fast to their hope amidst such emotional storms? People challenged by substance abuse and other addictions, or people who live day to day, moment to moment, with mental illness, emotional distress, physical limitations, abusive relationships, or even loneliness, guilt, and shame also come to mind. Where do they find hope, joy, and peace amidst such storms that rage eternal? How do they wake up each morning and choose life? Beloved, here's where we and God's other children have something to offer. Hope. Not a spiritualized hope that denies the harsh realities of life. Not a naive hope that believes tragic things don't happen to people who love God, that God doesn't give us any more than we can handle. No, we offer authentic, courageous hope. Hope born in faith. Not our faith, but the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith that sustained him through the dark night in Gethsemane. The faith that allowed him to endure death on the cross. The faith by which he commands the creative power of God to calm the storms, bring life from death, and make all things new. This is the faith we offer. Faith unto life. The storm raged all around them. The winds and the waves beat the boat. The raging water swamped the boat. Their fear is real. Their question is valid. Jesus slept on a cushion in the boat. Did he not care? They would die. I don't know. The disciples are looking for Jesus to save them from this storm. When he does, we say, see, if our faith is strong enough, God will save us too. Too often, we take it a step further. If God protects the faithful from harm, then those who suffer or face persecution must be lacking in faith. They must be to blame for their plight. If only they had more faith, God would save them too. But what of so many heroes and heroines of the faith? Peter and Paul, they suffered immensely. John the Baptist, he lost his life. The countless unnamed women martyrs in the early church. Even Jesus. Did they lack faith? Did God not care they were perishing? Why did God not save them from the storm? I don't know. Bad things happen to good people. Life isn't fair. Some people are always getting kicked in the face, while others enjoy smooth sailing. I know many folks see this is the way the world is and have a hard time believing in God because of it. They hear Christians proclaim, oh, just believe, God will protect you. God will bless you. God will make you prosper. But then life happens. and the lie is exposed. Life isn't fair. Good people suffer. Faithful people die. Sometimes the storms prevail. When Jesus awoke, he rebuked the wind and sea. The peace he enjoyed on the cushion during the storm was now shared by all. Had the story ended here, we might have made the case for the belief that God protects the faithful. Jesus certainly saved the disciples in the boat, but the story doesn't end here. Jesus rebuked the disciples as he had the wind and the waves. Why? The storm raged all around. The winds and the waves beat the boat. The raging water swamped the boat. Their fear is real. Their question is valid. They are in the storm of their life. Jesus slept on a cushion in the boat. Did he not care? They would die. Yes, Jesus cared for the disciples. He fed them, he taught them, he fought for them, he protected them, he gave his life for them, he loved them. But he knew the storm could only take their lives. Jesus reveals this hard truth over and again. There are things in this world worse than death. In Matthew, early in the disciples' ministry, Jesus cautions them not to fear those who are persecuting them. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, they are to magnify Jesus' ministry in the face of persecution. Persecution that would cost some of them their lives. They are to magnify the ministry of Jesus, proclaiming his teachings from the rooftops. Jesus' point on the Sea of Galilee is the same. Do not fear. Trust in God, come what may. The life Jesus offers, the life of faith, is greater even than death. So it's not that Jesus doesn't care about the disciples, whether they live or die. It's that the life Jesus offers, a life that transcends death, can't be lived in fear. This life, the kingdom life, can only be lived by faith. The faith of Jesus. The faith that triumphs over death. Mark leaves us with the disciples asking yet another question. Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Who is this that commands the creative power of God? Who is this Jesus? Everyone else seems to know the answer. Demons recognize Jesus as the Holy One of God. Gentile women, Roman centurions, hungry crowds, people in need of healing. Even Jesus' opponents acknowledge his power, though they try to connect him to Beelzebub. But those closest to Jesus, the disciples, seem to be the most confused. Could it be they are that dense? Or is Mark's question directed at us, his readers? Could Mark be asking us, who do we say that Jesus is? Yes. These questions to the reader appear throughout Mark's gospel. Remember, Mark is the one who leaves us with the empty tomb, not the risen Lord. We are left to decide, was Jesus raised from the dead or not? Who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? These are questions of faith. Who do we say that Jesus is? Who has the last word? Life or death? Is Jesus just a great teacher? Maybe even a prophet of God, faithful unto death? Well, if that's all Jesus is, then life is tragic. All that is good and loving, as real as it may be for a time, amounts to little. Death prevails. Death has the final word. Faith. The faith of Jesus Christ leads us to believe there is more to the story. God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus' calming of the storm reflects God's creative power and anticipates God's triumph over death. Herein lies our hope. The ultimate power of love to bring life from death. It's this hope. Hope in the ultimate power of love, which opens a whole new world for us. Having started teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God and the healing power of love, Jesus says, let's go across to the other side, to the land of the Gentiles. This life-giving love of God isn't limited by family relations or religious tradition, race, gender identity, or nationality. All who love God and neighbor are welcomed into the family of God. Having shown us that Christ commands the creative power of God and invited us to embrace the life of love born in the faith of Jesus Christ, Mark proceeds to show us this faith that leads to life. We hear stories of compassion, healing, feeding, and welcoming. We see the radical hospitality of Jesus changing lives and bringing hope. When we make this life our own, we discover who this is that commands the wind and sea. And we become the people God created us to be. Beloved, this is why we are here. To share this hope. Not a spiritualized hope that denies the harsh realities of life. Not a naive hope that believes tragic things don't happen to people who love God. No. Ours is an authentic hope. A courageous hope. Born in the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith by which he commands the creative power of God to calm the storms, bring life from death, and make all things new. The faith that tells us, even as we look into the face of death, nothing in this world, not even death, will separate us from the love of God. This is the faith we offer. The faith that triumphs over death. The faith that leads to life. Thanks be to God.